feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. How can you tell the source of what you hear or read? How do you know if it's from God or from another source? On our last Searchlight program, John shared with us a simple way to tell. There is a simple answer that we saw by looking at God's Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In this Hall of Faith, we see several guys from our studies in the book of Judges, guys like Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and Samson. These are guys that had some pretty severe flaws, yet God used them mightily. Why? Because in all of these situations, God got the glory. That is how we can tell the source of any information. If God gets the glory, it's from Him. When we look at the men that God used, we recognize that God is so amazingly gracious to use flawed guys to accomplish mighty deeds. This causes us to be in awe of God, to give Him the glory. Well, as we join John today, he is continuing to teach us about this amazing grace and why God chooses regular folks like us to do His work. Here now is Pastor John.
Now listen to me. This is really important. This is a rule of thumb that you need to get down and really be familiar with. When you read a book, a biography, a book on theology, whatever it might be, you hear a sermon, you have a thought, you share a conversation, who gets the glory? Is it some person or some aspect of spiritual life? Or is it to God be the glory? Great things He has done. We boast not of ourselves. Paul said, I glory in nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ, what He did for me, because I was in desperate need and will continue to be of forgiveness and mercy perpetually. Listen to what Paul says. Just jot these down. I'll read them to you. God, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. How many of you today would say, frankly, Pastor John, if I was to be really, totally transparent and honest, I'm a pretty foolish person. Would you raise your hand? Okay, you're the qualified ones. Not the guys that say, oh man, I've studied hard. I've earned these degrees. I've got it down because of my great intellectual capabilities. God, who uses the foolish things of the wise, or of the world, pardon me, to confound the wise, and God, He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory in His presence. According as it is written, he that glories, let him glory, what, gang? In the Lord. That's the only thing we ought to glory in. Not, man, I found the real key. If we could just pray for 3 hours a day, or if you can fast twice a week, or if you can memorize a chapter a month, or if you come to 6 studies a day, or whatever it might be, we are to glory in one thing and in one thing only, the Lord. I can't explain it, how good God's been to me. I can't figure it out. I look at my beautiful wife, my bride, Tammy Sue. I can't figure that out. I don't mean I can't figure her out. I can't figure out why God would bless me with a wife like Tammy. And I look at my kids. And I go, I don't understand this, Lord, and my house and my convertible bug and being a part of this whole thing, what the Lord is doing here, I can't understand it. I can't figure it out. It is grace, which means unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. And from the bottom of my soul, I truly and deeply know to God be the glory. It's all about His goodness and grace and mercy towards me personally. And I'm just so blessed. Oh, I wish I could say in my flesh, yes, you don't know how many hours a day I pray, folks. And that's the real key. I don't want to brag, but, you know, when I was praying for you at 2 a.m. this morning, I just felt, no, it's not that way. I was sawing logs, you see. It's grace. To God be the glory. He that glories, let him glory in this and this alone. Listen to what Paul says in the book of Philippians. By the way, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to the end. Listen to Philippians chapter 3. My brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me is not grievous, for you it is safe. Hey, rejoice in the Lord. He says, but beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. These were guys that thought you worked your way into God's blessings. Dogs. Concision. What does that mean? The concision would go from town to town, from place to place, and tell these Christians, hey, you got to be circumcised. You got to cut off the flesh. You got to be in pain. It's going to be brutal and bloody. Problematic and painful, but that's the key to spirituality. Paul says they're dogs. Beware of that mentality where anybody ever comes to you and implies it's what you do that will bring about God's blessing. Paul says, no, it's a bunch of lies. We, verse 3 of Philippians 3, are the circumcision, the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's the deal. We just worship God. Lord, you're awesome. We rejoice in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and what you did on the cross of Calvary. And I have no confidence in my flesh. There's no boasting in my flesh. There's no reason to brag about my flesh because I know what I am. Now listen, when you read that book, hear that teaching, have that thought, or enter into that conversation, honestly, who is getting the glory? If some movement is, or some man is, or some discipline or spiritual aspect, if it's anything but Jesus Christ and His grace, God and His goodness, then you know immediately, the true source of that sermon or that book or that conversation or thought is not of God, because God declares no flesh, no person, nothing that is from Him would be allowed to boast, but rather all glory goes to Him. It's grace. Now listen, it's grace. I look at Gideon's life, or Barak, or Samson, or Jephthah, or whoever, and I come to this conclusion, Lord, these are frailed, flaky fellows, just like me, but you blessed them. Not because of who they were, but in spite of them, actually. And they just received your blessing. whether it's Samson there in the temple of Dagon in his final act, pushing over those pillars, or Gideon after all of his doubts and ups and downs and going round about in confusion, finally experiences a grand victory and then plunges back into weakness again. Nonetheless, it's all because these men were recipients of God's grace, and to God goes the glory. Now, people say, well, John, are you suggesting then that God just blesses people, that he gives favor to people, not because of what they do or don't do? He just pours out blessings? Yes. Well, you might say, but that isn't fair. Listen to me. Favor isn't fair. God just favors people. He just blesses you by letting you be in America, the most prosperous country that's ever been in world history. To live in Oregon, you see. To be a Christian and be in the amphitheater and sitting with friends or family members. To smell the burgers on the grill, sending their aroma this way. Hey, why? Why are we so blessed? There's no reason. God just pours out gifts and shows favor. He's shown me favor. And I used to think, well, I have to deserve this favor somehow, so I better pray more. Or be better, or try harder, or whatever. Listen, that nullifies grace. Grace means, Lord, I can't believe how good you are to me. What you've brought my way. The way you bless me day after day after day. And I know I don't deserve this. And wow. Now, when I see other people that I think are more blessed than me, and that happens occasionally, I'm somewhere or someplace, and I look over them and I say, that's not fair. I pray more than he does. Or I read more than they do. Or whatever it might be. And God always gets me back ultimately to remembering this simple truth. Favor isn't fair. It's not about, we think that, hey, everything has to be fair. No, God says, I'm going to bless him this way and her that way and those guys in the other way. And I can do whatever I choose to. I can just pour out blessings on that person who's carnal or that person who's sinful or those people that are unbelievers because I'm merciful and kind and I bless the unjust and I bless the just. And I just show people favor. And it's not about fairness. And when people look at you or look at me or look at us and say, well, it's not fair that you're so blessed because I know this, that you're not doing that or you dropped the ball there or whatever it might be. We have to say it's not about fairness. Favor isn't fair. God just is good. I don't know why. I just marvel at it. And I come here to this place with you to say, Lord, I'm amazed at your grace. The blessings I enjoyed this past week with my wife and my family. I'm just so grateful to you, Lord. You've been so good to me, Lord. And I rejoice in Christ Jesus. And I have no confidence in my flesh. I know what I am. And I worship God in the Spirit like you do too, you see. Favor isn't fair. So forget about it if you're trying to figure out why that guy or those folks are blessed in a way that you're not. God just is blessing them. Don't try to figure out why. And don't let them sell you a bill of goods and say, well, this is why. Because man, the way that I witness, or the way that I evangelize, or the way that I study, or the way that I pray. No, that's not authentic. You'll know an authentic word when somebody says, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. I'm like Samson, I'm like Gideon, like Barak, like Jephthah, like all of them. Full of failings and shortcomings. but God is good to me. And I can talk to him about stuff, and I can come boldly to the throne of grace, and I can ask him for things, and he sends them my way. Not because I persevere with perspiration. No, I just come before my Father's throne in this grand invitation. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you, and it's going to blow your mind, John. Thank you, Lord. The throne of grace. It doesn't say the throne of works, the throne of effort, the throne of worthiness. It's the throne of grace, you see. So I ask for stuff, and God blesses me. It's amazing to me. You too. It's grace. Well, so you're saying, John, that favor isn't fair. That doesn't seem right. Are you saying God's not fair? No. It will all be squared away ultimately in a place called heaven. And that's why Jesus said, hey, if you're hurting now, weeping now, impoverished now, rejoice, he says. Your day is coming. See, those that we look at today, those that we look at now and say, she seems, he seems, they seem to be such lovers of God, and they go through such tough times and have such a raw deal seemingly. Hey, heaven, 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 heaven. Heaven is going to be the great equalizer, the great rectifier. Heaven is going to be the place where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Heaven. I'm not worried about in that time, on that day, people saying, well, God, you're unfair. Because when we're before him and when we're in heaven, all things are going to be squared away in such a manner that we will all say, righteous and true are your judgments, Lord. See, I don't worry about it. My heart breaks, yes. And I feel pangs of sadness, certainly. But underneath that and overarching those feelings are, this life is short. And heaven is going to be the time when things are totally equalized and squared away. For that person. For me, I'm just enjoying the blessings he sends my way today, you see. Folks, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because in studying through the life of Gideon, and once more yesterday reading his name mentioned in Hebrews 11, I can only say, God, you're gracious to Gideon, and you're gracious to the gang at Applegate too. And you've been so very gracious to me. To you, Lord, be all the glory. And I want you to be schooled in. I want you to be aware of. I want you to be equipped in this way today. Lots of books are being sold, and lots of sermons are being preached, and lots of things are being shared, and you need to sort it through. Is this authentic, or is this something else? And you'll know if it's authentic. You'll know the source. Does it glorify some woman or some man, some act, something, even if the thing might seem to be spiritual, or does it truly glorify God, where you just say, our God is an awesome God. Gracious, slow to anger, full of mercy and generous beyond understanding. To God be the glory. See, be aware that God is truly the one that will be glorified if it's really coming from him. And live your life, folks, in that way. Just live your life in that whole understanding. Lord, I'm just going to let you bless me. Not because of my great faith or my persevering prayer or my effective evangelism or my deep study. I'm just going to let you bless me today, Lord, because you are so kind and good. And I'll just take whatever you send my way as I come before your throne of grace this day. One more scripture and we'll be done. Would you open your Bible to Isaiah 53? A scripture we looked at in our study last week in talking about rejecting rejection, there's one more thing I want you to see, and then we'll be done this morning. Isaiah 53. Perhaps you haven't seen this, or perhaps you haven't grabbed it. Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He's borne our griefs, verse 4. He carried away our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, verse 6, like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He, Jesus, was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb or silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken, verse 8, from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? That is, who knows where he comes from? Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave, verse 9, with the wicked and the rich in his death. He had done no deceit, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And then verse 11, for he, the Father, shall see, watch this, the Father shall see of the travail of his soul, the Son's soul, and the Father shall be satisfied. The Father sees the affliction and the travail of his Son's condition and soul. The Father sees what his Son went through. The Father sees the work that his Son would do. The Father sees his Son hanging on the tree, blood flowing from his veins as he was dying for you and for me. The Father sees, and it says here, and I want you to note this in verse 11, the Father shall see the travail of his Son's soul, and the Father is satisfied. Do you know what that's saying? The Father looks at his Son and is satisfied. With who? With his Son and with me and with you. Because we are in Christ, cleansed by the blood of Christ. There's nothing more that you can do. There's nothing more that I must do to gain or garner the satisfaction of my Father. The Father sees what Jesus did, and the Father sees the travail of Jesus' soul and is satisfied with the work that was done. The victory was won. The battle's over, kids. And now that means I can say, because Jesus has satisfied the requirements, my sins are washed away, the throne of grace is available for me today, God's blessings are going to be poured out on me, he's going to do great and glorious things in me and through me, all because of the work of Jesus. To God be the glory. See, I might be frail and fickle, foolish and faulty, but Lord, if you want to bless me and use me, then to you be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Can you believe it? The Father is satisfied with us because of the work of Jesus, not our work. And because he is satisfied, God just wants to bless us and use us for his glory. That's right. In spite of our flaws, God just wants to show us grace. He wants to pour out his favor upon us. Embrace that truth and rest in it today.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together 3 daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.